Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Amen. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless internet listeners, radio listeners. I hope that that instrumental prophetic worship really ministered unto you. Amen. That prophetic flow instrumental that was playing. Praise the Lord. I pray that you truly was blessed. Thank you for tuning in on tonight. Amen. For tuning in to Kingdom Builders International Block Talk Radio, where I am your host on tonight. Yes, this is the third Monday. This is Apostle Flowers. You're listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In broadcast. I bring you greetings, amen, from me and from my wife, Prophetess Angel Flowers from Repair the Breach International Ministries. I'm here in, located here in Chicago, Illinois, in the Windy City in the United States. Amen. For those of you that may be listening overseas, we thank God for you, those that are tuned in, internet listeners, landline listeners. Truly, you are going to be blessed on tonight. I want to encourage you to get a pad and a pen. And also, I want to encourage you also to be in high expectation, to look for a move of God on tonight, because we serve a supernatural God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is still performing miracles, signs, and wonders. And the only way that God can perform a miracle, sign, and wonder in your life, you have to believe. Amen. You have to have faith, and you have to believe that God can still work a wonder in your life. Yes, God can still work out a hard situation, a hard case. I mean, the hardest case that seemed impossible with men. But nothing is impossible with God. All you have to do is just believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. But the key is, you got to have faith. You got to have faith when it comes to the kingdom of God and the principles of God, and operating out of the kingdom of God and the dynamics of the kingdom of God and the system of God. You have to be a kingdom-minded person to move, amen, to receive the benefits and the blessings of the kingdom. Know that you are a kingdom citizen. Remember, you were adopted, you were grafted in, you are now of a royalty, of a royal priesthood. You are an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. So you ought to rejoice in that, that God had considered you to be a citizen in the kingdom. You're no more a, as you call it, a illegal alien, a immigrant, as they would call it, where you go into another country and you don't have your documents, you don't have your passport. They would consider you being a illegal alien because you don't have the right authorization. So in order for you to be a citizen of the kingdom, you must be born again. You hear me, saints? In order for you to be a citizen of the kingdom, you must be born again. And when you become born again, you have citizenship, you have citizen right, you have all the blessings and the benefits that come with being a citizen. And I know it's sad to say that many of us that are citizens in the kingdom, we don't access or use our citizen rights to obtain privileges in the kingdom. That's right. You heard me say it right. A lot of times we look for somebody else to try to get a prayer through for us, where we look to the man of God or to the woman of God, our pastors or our leaders, to access the kingdom for us on our behalf when God has given you legal right to the kingdom, when God has given you your passport into the kingdom to be able to have the access and the privileges and the rights of the kingdom, but saints of God are not utilizing that. God has given you power and authority over all the powers of the enemy. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, then automatically you became a citizen of the kingdom. Automatically you have rights. Automatically God has given you authority to be able to use in the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. Well, I thank God for Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders. Amen. I give a shout out to her. And also I thank God for Evangelist Hannah as well. I ask that you keep them, continue in prayer, and those that are working with them as well to make things happen behind the scenes of Kingdom Builders International. And I thank God, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come on and to be able to minister to you, very fine people of the kingdom that is listening under the sound of our voice. Amen. Before I get into the word of God, let's just have a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We praise you on tonight. We bless you. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I call forth that which be not as though it were in the atmosphere, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Those that are listening under the sound of my voice, Lord, in the name of you, whether it be by cell phone, whether it be by landline, whether it's by internet radio, Lord, whether they're across the globe, whether they're at work, in their homes, Lord, wherever they may be tuned in, listening under the sound of my voice, this broadcast, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father God, you begin to supernaturally move on behalf of your people. God, I stir up the atmosphere for miracles, Lord. Signs and wonders be stirred up in the atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, your word declared that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So we have that same authority to be able to speak what we want our worlds to be. So I speak to the atmosphere right now, through that person's atmosphere that may be going through, in the name of Jesus, whose back is up against the wall, who's going through some struggles, who's between a rock and a hard place. In the name of Jesus, I speak it. In the name of Jesus, in the atmosphere, miracles, miracles, miracles be framed around them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak right now, Lord, in the name of this, you will bring them out of their circumstance, that you will bring them out of their situation, God. In the name of you, that you will turn around that death situation where the doctors have pronounced death upon that person right now, in the name of Jesus, telling them to go home in hospice care, to die, in the name of Jesus. But your word declares that that person shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I command them to rise up and to get up, in the name of Jesus, to be healed and to be made whole right now. In the name of Jesus, I come against infirmities, sickness, and disease. I bind it right now, and I send it back to the pits of hell where it belongs, and I loose divine healing right now on the airways right now, through the internet waves right now, in the name of Jesus, through the cell tower waves, in the name of Jesus, healing. I loose healing, divine healing right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I loose right now miracle signs and wonders, God, in the name of Jesus, in the atmosphere, notable miracles, creative miracles to take place right now. Lord, begin to manifest your glory that you may be glorified, God. Lord, even that person that may be listening that may not even believe, that have given up, thrown in the towel, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would perform a miracle on their behalf, God, to stir them up again, to encourage them again, to cause faith to come alive with them, within them again, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you begin to elevate your people's faith that is listening under the sound of my voice because of the attacks of the enemy. It caused them to be discouraged. It caused them to be despondent. In the name of Jesus, Father, I come against discouragement and disappointment in the name of Jesus, and I speak and release the joy of the Lord shall be their strength. I speak, rise up, men of God. I speak, rise up, woman of God. In the name of Jesus, I loose the fire of the Lord right now upon you to ignite you, to stir you up, to charge you. In the name of Jesus, you will not be the same. I speak right now in the name of Jesus, the word of the Lord. For he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters, in the name of Jesus. I just speak to you people of God right now to put your hands on your stomach right now. If you've been dry in this season of your life, I just dare you right now to put your hand on your stomach right now. And I speak right now in the name of you that out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water, in the name of Jesus. Ha lama sorobo shekatabasa. And Father, I pray right now that you would give them to drink that water that they should never thirst again. in the name of Jesus, that they shall never thirst again. And I counsel every demonic assignment of the enemy this day over the lives of your people. And Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, thank God. Amen and amen. Well, just rejoice with me, saints of God, people of God. Amen. I want you to be encouraged on tonight as I bring forth the word of the Lord. I know those of you that may have tuned in, if you have tuned in with me on the first Monday of this month, I was teaching on prayer, on Lord teaches how to pray. One of the disciples came and asked Jesus for him to teach them how to pray, teach them how to pray as John the Baptist had taught his disciples how to pray. So one of the disciples, Jesus' disciples, came to him asking him to teach them how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. And basically what I'm going to minister on tonight, I'm going to do part two of Lord, teach us how to pray, because I didn't get a chance to get through the rest of the message because of time. I ran out of time, but I'm just going to do a little recap, and then I'm going to go into part two of Lord, teach us how to pray. It was in Luke, the 11th chapter, the first and the second verses, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, this is what Jesus told them to do, when you pray, this is how you pray, pray this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And to pray, let me give you the definition of pray. It's an action word, which is a verb, which means to entreat, implore, often used as a function word in introducing a question, request, or plea in a humble manner. To address God with adoration, confession, supplication, or thanksgiving. Now, in Luke, the 11th chapter, in the first verse, I'm going to touch on a certain place. See, Jesus had a certain place that he went to go and pray in. And on the first broadcast, and on the first Monday of this month, I began to break it down concerning that certain place. I was encouraging you, the saints of God, to have that hollow out place, that place that you go to pray, that place that you go to seek the face of the Lord, where you can get alone and just be with the Lord. Because in Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 16th verse, it talks about how Jesus withdrew himself to pray. He went to a place of solitude, a place where it was a wilderness, where Jesus went to go and pray and begin to seek the face of the Lord. So I want to encourage you to find a place, a certain place that you have, amen, that you don't allow no one else to invade or enter into that place, that you have hollowed out, that you have sanctified unto the Lord, and go and pray, whether it's in your bedroom and you know, don't allow nobody doing that time, your bedroom, whether it's you and your spouse, you kick them out and say, hey, this is my time to pray, you know, in the bedroom, because this is my place, my sanctuary, my solitude place, my place where I withdraw myself, or whether you're single, or whether you can go and use a closet, a literal closet, need be. Make that your certain place that you go and pray, or if not, if it's just too much traffic, too much many things going on in your home, then go in your car and pray, your vehicle, make that your sanctuary, need be, to get away, withdraw yourself away from people, to go and pray and be with the Lord. Or many of you may like to go over to the lakefront, go and sit by the lake somewhere and pray and talk to the Lord. But wherever the place that is, make it a certain place that you go and you begin to seek, and you begin to pray, and you begin to commune with the Lord. Also, I begin to teach on, begin to break down that in that place of prayer, that when the Lord was talking about let thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. A lot of times when we look at in earth, we're looking at here in this earth realm, but God, the Lord was talking about the kingdom of God within us, in earth, in these earthen vessels here. Amen. Praise God. That God will be done, because the Lord uses vessels in order to get his will done. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so that's God demonstrating, amen, his power. That's God using us, the earthen vessel, to get his will done in the earth. That's why Jesus said, as it is in heaven, because God's will is being done 24/7, because there is no time, amen, in heaven. I mean, God's will is always constantly being done. The kingdom of heaven is constantly moving forward and going. Amen. So God wants to implement as it is in heaven, so here in the earth his will be done here in the earth, because we must be like Jesus. The word of God said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So here again, that excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, so that we cannot take the credit, so that we cannot take glory from God, saying it was my doing that this happened and that this taking place. So the word of God made it real clear that it is of God and that it is not of us. Amen? Amen. So right before I get on into part two, amen, I just want to wrap it up with this. Number one, you have to have a teachable spirit. Number two, have a place of sanctum, a hollowed out place to pray, a room anywhere that can be a place of solitude or getaway for you, or a park, a lake, your car, or whatever, wherever you can get away to, just so that it can be you and God. Number three, remember that you are that vessel that God is going to work his power through. Remember, it is not of us. It's not of you. Always remember that. Number four, believe when you pray, you shall receive. It's very important that when you pray, that you believe what you're praying, because you can have those that's praying what they don't even believe. They can be praying amiss, as James said, because they're not really believing what they're praying anyway. So when you come to God, believe what you're asking and what you're requesting of the Lord. Believe that he hears you. Believe that he's going to answer your prayer. Hear that? Believe that he's going to answer your prayer. That's why I say believe when you pray that you shall receive. Number five, the most important thing here concerning prayer is forgive, so that your prayers be not hindered. So if you're holding any unforgiveness, any ought within your heart, then your prayers will be hindered and God will not be able to move concerning your prayers. First, you got to get things right, make it right. Amen. Release that unforgiveness, that bitterness, and then go to your brother and sister who you have this ought and make that thing right. And then the word of God says, it talks about legal gift at the altar. You want to make that thing right. Then come back and offer up your gift up to the Father. This is the very thing that will hinder us. Amen. This is the very thing that the enemy knows. Amen. That can stop a move of God. That can keep God from moving and from answering our prayer because and keep his hand tied up because of us withholding unforgiveness and bitterness within our heart. Number six, prayer changes your attitude inside first, then out. Your appearance change, it glows. God's fruit begin to be evident. When people begin to look upon you, they begin to see Jesus. They begin to see the glory of God. They begin to see the anointing. They begin to see the presence of the Lord upon you. That's not so. If those of you that were listening to me on the first broadcast of the first Monday of this month, in Luke, the 9th chapter, 29th verse, just to show you through the word of God, it said, and as he prayed, this was Jesus, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. So that tells you right there, prayer does something. Prayer changes you. Prayer calls the glory of God to begin to rest upon you. And number seven, stay humble. Do not do things to be seen of men. Then you already have your reward. You hear that? When you do things to be seen of men, you already have your reward. When your motive is wrong, when you're doing things in the things of God, you already have your reward. Number eight, which is the final one, when you pray, it causes you to walk under an open heavens, communication and fellowship with the Father, a closeness, supernatural encounters, visions, dreams, miracles, signs, and wonders follow you. And those of you that missed it, I'm just doing a recap here. I'm still on the part one of Lord Teach Us How to Pray. I'm about to move into part two. I'm just doing a little recap so you can know where I'm at right now. Now, to confirm that with the word of God, again, here in Luke, the 3rd chapter, 21st verse, it said, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying. Notice here that it says he was praying. When being baptized, it said that heavens was opened. You hear that? The heavens was open when Jesus was praying. In verse 22, skip down to verse 22, and it said, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." See, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit began to manifest himself. The heavens open when you pray. And the voice of God, when you're listening, after you finish talking, finish letting your request be made known to God, and you're being still and you're listening to hear the voice of the Lord, hear the voice of the Lord speak now. And the word of God said, and God began to speak from heaven. And that's what happened. God began to speak. When you begin to come before him in prayer, and then when you finish praying, you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the voice of the Lord, and be quiet before the Lord. God began to speak. God began to instruct you. God began to tell you his plans. God began to reveal unto you his secrets and what he's desiring for you to do. Why? Because now you're hearing the voice of the Lord. These things are taking place in prayer. Now, in Romans, the 8th chapter, in the 27th verse, it said, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." That's why it's very important to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in heavenly language. I'm not just talking about this, the earthly language, other tongues here, other dialects here. Amen. That language that you speak in somebody else's language. But I'm talking about when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray in your heavenly language. And when you know not what to pray for, as Romans 8 says here, the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. And the Holy Spirit prays the perfect will of God, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind and the heart of God. And so you can't miss on that. So that's why it's very important to pray in the Spirit, spend a lot of time praying in the Spirit, because you're praying in your most holy faith, and you're building yourself up in the Holy Ghost by you praying in the Spirit. And it's causing also even the anointing to begin to be built up and begin to increase in your life by you praying in the Spirit of God, because it's the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. It only comes from prayer. And a lot of times when you have some churches that when the pastor leads call for prayer, a lot of people want to run away from prayer. Don't want to have anything to do with prayer, because they look at, "Oh, prayer is boring. Oh, I don't want to I don't want to get involved with prayer." But if we say that we're having a prophetic conference, you get people flocking to the prophetic conference. We say that we have a marriage conference, you have people flocking to the marriage conference. We say that we're having a prosperity conference, you have people flock to the prosperity conference. If we say we're having a healing and deliverance conference, you have people flocking to that. But it's not too often that you have people flock when it's a call for prayer. And prayer is the key. Prayer is the launching point. Prayer is the birthing point. That's how the Azusa Street was birthed forth. That's how many great moves were birthed forth through prayer. God does not anything except he reveals what? His secrets. Amos 3:7, first, reveal his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. And I tell you, those that got prophetic mantles upon your life, those that are called to walk in the office of prayer, the only way you birth forth in the prophetic, and the only way that you birth forth in your prophetic ministry is through prayer. It starts out through prayer and intercession. Notice, watchmen on the wall. Notice, intercession. Notice in Romans 8, in 26, it talks about the Spirit maketh intercession for us. So right there, intercession through prayer. Amen. If you want to see a move in your church, amen, come together in prayer. Come to the prayer services. Come. Amen. I mean, come every time that you can. Flock to it. Amen. If you want to see a move of God and be on one accord, one mind, one spirit. Amen. When you come with the saints of God, that's why I like to stress that. Amen. That one accord, that unity, that oneness in prayer, when the saints of God begin to come together, and that's how the outpouring of God's Spirit begin to come out upon the people of God. When we begin to come together in unity, we begin to come in prayer. Notice strongholds are removed over neighborhoods, over cities, over regions. Not about, we have been taught the wrong way concerning spiritual warfare. You know, we have been taught to go up and start binding principalities and binding spears up in the heavenlies and so on. So we're going outside of our jurisdiction. God never told us to do that. He said, whatever you bind here on earth, he'll be binding in heaven. But we're going up into the heavenlies, binding these spirits. We wonder why all these different things are happening to us, all these calamities and different things are happening in our church and everything. So talk to your intercessors and see what how they are praying. If they're up, coming against binding in the heavenlies, going in the stratosphere and the hemisphere and all these things, coming against forces and stuff like that. And if you have a problem with strange deaths happening in your church, I'm talking to the pastors now. See what your intercessors are praying. If you have women in your church that cannot carry a child to full term, having miscarriages, or women cannot carry, in your church, the women are being attacked with this, and you wonder what's going on. Check with your intercessors. You have intercessors in the church. See how they are praying. You have mysterious incidents that are happening in your church, car accidents, and people, you know, just seem to be accident prone and stuff, you know, happening to people in your church. Get with your intercessors and your prayer warriors. See how they are praying. The Word of God said that this is how that stronghold will come down. You want strongholds, principalities, different things to come down? This is how, as we begin to band humble ourselves, the key is here, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. The Word of God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they shall hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's how that stronghold is going to come down. When we begin to come together and pray as saints of God, when leaders begin to come together, a lot of times leaders don't want to come together unless they are spearheading, unless if they're not the one that's leading it, then they don't want to have nothing to do with that. That's a work of the enemy right there to keep division upon among the body of Christ, among the saints of God, and the enemy know that. And that's how the stronghold of the enemy begin to fall down and come down over your city, over regions, over territories, over your neighborhood, is people coming together, humbling themselves in prayer, repenting, asking for forgiveness. And then God will, through his sovereignty, will cause, amen, that stronghold to begin to come down. Because the Word of God said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through him. You know that? Mighty through him to the pulling down of strongholds. In John the 15th chapter, this is part two. In the 7th verse, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You hear that? First, you have to abide in the Lord. And that's in prayer. That's in communion with the Lord. You have to abide, as you say, you know, in his word, because how can you abide in the word of God if you're not studying the word of God? How could God's word abide in you? Because then the Holy Spirit cannot bring all things to your remembrance, because there is nothing there if you've not been studying, if you've not been meditating upon the word of God, as you say, day and night. And then so when that time of resistance come, or that time of your wilderness experience, or that time when the enemy comes to launch an attack against you, and by you not have not been meditating or studying the word of God to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, and then the Holy Spirit will not be able to have anything to bring back to your remembrance, because there is nothing there that you can use against the enemy. And so he says here, as my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now this is Jesus saying that you can ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. The Amplified Version says this, it says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. You hear that? God's words remain in you and continue to live in your heart. See, that's it right there. You have to continue. The word of God has to continue to live in your heart, not, you know, you get it and you have it for one moment, then you stop. I'm not, like, you know how some people say, well, when they have a fleshly moment where some aggravated them, they got upset about something, somebody irritated them or provoked them, and you have heard saints of God say this, oh, well, you know, I had to put my religion down for a minute so I can tell this person off, or so I can get this person told, so I can handle this and everything, put my religion down for a second. No. And we're not supposed to be about religion anyway. We're supposed to be people of the kingdom, and we're supposed to always have the word of God in operation in our life. And because our fight is, again, not against flesh and blood, but our fight is against the unseen realm. In Philippians 4, the 4th chapter and 6th verse, it said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So what are you saying here, preacher? The word of God says here, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So that means that that you got to have a thankful attitude. You got to be grateful. Not murmuring, not complaining, not saying, always complaining about this, complaining about that. "No, I don't like the way this is. I don't like that. It's too hot. It's too cold." You have some people that was hollering about, "I can't wait till it get hot." And then when it get hot, "I can't wait till it get cold. It's too hot." You know, just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Back and forth, being ungrateful, unthankful. But the word says here, Paul's writing to the Philippians, he was saying, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." So you have to give thanks unto the Lord. Be thankful, be grateful. David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be within my mouth." Now, look at your children. If your children are ungrateful, unthankful, do you think you want to turn around and give them what they ask before they come and make a request unto you? They, you know, they want something. They want their pair of shoes, or want that the game for their Xbox, or their Wii, or something like that. Whatever the latest thing is out, but yet they had an ungrateful attitude, unthankful, and so on. But then yet they come and they ask you for something. So imagine how how our father may feel when we get into that place of being unthankful, then but yet we want to come and steal big and ask him for something, making our request known unto him. The Amplified Version says this. It says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, a definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God." So here, I like that for what the Amplified Version is saying here. Do not fret or have any anxiety. You have people sitting up, can't even sleep at night because they have anxiety. "Oh, I'm going to pay my bill." "Oh, they, you know, the bill collector study calling me." "Oh, I'm about to lose my home." "Oh, I'm about to lose my job." "Oh, the economy." "Oh, this recession." "Oh, I'm going through in my marriage." Just anxiety, 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 anxiety. But it stands in Amplified Version again, "Do not fret." And also, I remember the word of God saying, "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for nothing. But it says here, "But in every circumstance." So it don't matter what circumstance that you may be in right now. And in everything, it says, by prayer and petition, your definite request with thanksgiving. You hear that? With thanksgiving, no matter what circumstances that you may be in or facing. Regardless, you hear that? Regardless of what you may be going through, give thanks, be thankful, praise your way out. That is the key to getting you out of what you may be facing, what you may be in, is you thanking God, you praising him. Once you have a grateful heart, a thankful heart, and praising and blessing of the name of the Lord, then you can be able to and have an attitude of gratitude. Then you can continue to be able to make your requests and your wants known unto God. In Matthew 6 and 6, it says, "But when ye pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." That's the key right there, going to the Lord in secret, not letting your right hand or not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So you whatever you do, do it in secret unto the Lord. Go before him. He said, do it in secret, because your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. In verse 7, it says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." So don't be like them. Want to be seen in me. Well, I prayed and I fasted 16 hours and I've did this and I did that. God said, don't do that to be seen of men, because then you already have your reward. Because when God begins to reward, as it says here, as you do it in secret, he's going to do it. He's going to reward you openly so that all may see, amen, what God has done and his blessings, you know, in your life. Because people wonder, I saw you going through. I saw this happen to you. I saw you, you know, when you lost your car. You know, you have some people that's close to your situation that see what you're going through, see what happened in your life. But they don't know that you've been seeking the Lord. They don't know that you've been holding fast to the faith. They don't know that you've been believing God. That God is going to make a way for you. They don't know that you've been trusting in the Lord, that the Lord is your deliverer, that the Lord is your strong tower. And then you have held in there, you have kept the faith, and now is reaping time. Now is blessing time. Now it's time to reap the harvest of the Lord. And so now the blessings of the Lord are coming into your life. The blessings of the Lord are overtaking you. And all of a sudden when you weren't driving, they saw that you lost your car. Now you're driving, and you're driving in a better vehicle. You're driving in the vehicle that you've been praying for, that you've been believing God for. They saw when you were homeless, out on the street somewhere or in a shelter or something like that. When you first, you know, you went from a apartment to being homeless and so on, those that were close to your situation. And then God blessed you with a house openly. They seen the blessings of the Lord. This is what I'm talking about. God beginning to, they didn't know that you were seeking the Lord in secret through all that you were going through. Now they're seeing the open blessings of the Lord upon your life, and they wondered, how is this happening? You know, where did this come from? You must be selling drugs. You must be doing something illegal that these things are happening. They're trying to figure you out. They're trying to look and see how is this coming about. But this is God blessing you openly. Why? Because you have been seeking him in secret. You've been coming after him regardless of what you have been going through. You've been grateful. You've been thankful. You've been giving him the praise and honor and the glory. You've been walking in the realm of forgiveness. You've been walking in the realm of thanksgiving. You've been walking in the realm of blessing. You've been encouraging others. You've been speaking life into other people's life. When you have been going through in your situation, God is, you've been esteeming your brother or your neighbor highly than yourself. And now God has blessed you. And now God is rewarding you. And now the blessings are overtaking you. And now people are seeing the blessings of the Lord that makes you rich and out of no sorrow with it. In verse 8 it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. In verse 9 it said, after this manner therefore pray ye our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What he was teaching the disciples, the basic model prayer on how to pray. Then verse 10, he went on to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So the Lord was teaching them about when you pray our Father, because there's many different religions out there. Well, let me say it like there's many false religions out there. Let me just say it like it is. They're saying there are many ways to God, many roads leading to God, and that God has many names. Yes, God has many names. It depends on what God you're talking about. Are you talking about the one and true and only living God? Are you talking about El Shaddai? Are you talking about our God, the many-breasted one? Amen. The God, I'm not talking about the other name, some of these other names that they be naming God that is not his name. You hear me, saints of God? But I'm talking about the only one and true living God, the Father of us all. Notice Jesus didn't say, pray like this, our God. He said, he prayed this. He said, say this, our Father, because he's all our Father. He's the one that created us for his goodwill and his pleasure. So he's all of our Father. But only way that he's all of our Father, you have to be of the kingdom. As you heard me say earlier, you have to be born again. Because if you're not born again, then you are Satan. That's your father. We all once was there before we confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. He was our father. We were the children of disobedience. And he was the proof, what the word of God said, he's the prince of the power of the air. So that's who we were enslaved to. That's who we were yielding our members to in Romans 6. Romans 6 chapter talks about that. We were yielding our members unto unrighteousness, unto unholiness. But now we are, since we're born in the kingdom of God and in the system of God, we're yielding our members unto holiness, unto righteousness, unto the Lord. Amen. That's a place right there to give God some praise. right there. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The Amplified version says, "But seek, aim at, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right." You hear that? Not our way of doing and being right. It says his way of doing and being right. A lot of times we want to do it our way. We think our way is right. The word of God says the ways of a man seem of right, but the end thereof is destruction. See, our ways lead us to destruction. And when we think that we know what is right and the way to go, we try to follow our own mind and do it our way, we always end up in pit somewhere in destruction or in a situation worse off than before. We dig a deeper hole for ourselves when we don't do it God's way, when we try to do it our way. So it says here, the Amplified Version, first his kingdom, his righteousness, and of doing and being right. Then it says, and then all these things taken together will be given unto you. So you've been storing up some stuff. You've been storing up those prayers. You've been praying and seeking the face of the Lord. You've been storing up. Amen. Now your prayers are being stored up. Blessings are being stored up for you in that time. Amen. In that appointed time that God is going to begin to release it unto you. Many of us are going through different seasons in our life. Amen. The different times when God released blessings in certain person because it's their season. So don't get jealous. Don't get mad. I mean, don't envy or be jealous of your brother, your sister, because this is their season to prosper. This is their season to be blessed. It's too much in the church world, I would like to say. I'm saying the kingdom, but in the church. Amen. We get mad at our sisters, our brothers, as God blessed them. We get envious. Well, I ain't got to bless me. Now they think they better than such. And we start hating. When we spoke, we rejoice with them. And when you rejoice with your brother and sister, when they get blessed and they came into their season and blessing them, that your season is coming for you to be blessed. If you have the right attitude, the right motive, and the right spirit in the season that you are in, and begin to, you know, and stand that season of prayer and seeking the face of the Lord and rejoice when your sisters and your brothers around you are getting blessed, and then when they're walking in their inheritance, when they're reaping the blessings of the Lord, that's the time for you to rejoice. Amen. When you see them, amen, walking in what God has promised them, and then know again that your turn is coming. Know that your season is coming. God is saying, let patience have her perfect work within you. In the 15th chapter, in the first and second verse, I know my time is almost just about up, but in John 15th chapter, in the first and second verse, again, it says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. You hear that? Always remember that Jesus is the true vine. And remember, without him, we can do nothing. Let me give the definition of vine. It's a plant whose stem requires support and which climbs by tendrils or twining or creeps along the ground, the stem of such a plant. Hear that? So the branch, definition of branch, is a natural subdivision because we are the branch that is connected to the vine. So it's a natural subdivision of a plant, stem especially a secondary shoot or stem as a bone, arise from a main axis as of a tree, something that extends from or enters into a main body or source. So Jesus is our source. We're connected to that source. So if you're not connected to that source, then what happened? You die. If that branch is not connected to that vine, what happened? It withers up and it dies. It's good for nothing. And so that's why we got to stay connected. We stay connected through prayer. We stay connected through consecration, which is fasting unto the Lord. So I want to encourage you to do so, to spend some time even consecrating yourself unto the Lord as well, coupled with prayer and reading the Word of God. Amen. In closing, John the 14th chapter. Well, before I close with that, go skip down to verse 3. It says, now in John 15, it says, now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. When we bear forth much fruit, then it shows us, showing the world right then. Jesus said, to show that you are my disciple. You allow me to purge you and prune you, then you're my disciple. So we have to stay connected to the vine through prayer. Amen. And seeking the face of the Lord. The anointing of God is released. As you heard me say, revelation is released. Visions and dreams are released. Open-eyed visions begin to take place in prayer. Things are birth. Like I said, things are not going to happen unless you take it in prayer. Things are not going to be birthed. How the business going to come forth unless you take it in prayer? To God instruct you, to lead you on how to do it, or to move in certain things. We got to go before God in prayer. The Word of God said, acknowledge me. Proverbs 3, I believe, in all thy ways. And lean not to your own understanding. Trust in me with all my heart. And then he talks about I will direct your path. See, and that's through prayer. That's acknowledging God in all our ways. And in closing, John the 14th chapter, in the 23rd verse, it reads, it says here, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And through that, by you keeping God's commandment, and you just showing him that you love him by keeping his words and not only being a hearer of the word but doer of the word, it says here that the Father will love him, and we will. He's talking about him and the Father. Amen. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. This means that God will literally manifest himself unto you. You literally have encounters with the Lord through your time of prayer. There are many. There are those that even in prayer, the Lord Jesus have shown himself. You have had supernatural encounters with angels and so on. You have had encounters with God, even though you didn't see God, but you heard his voice, him speaking, him talking to you, and so on. And just, I mean, just heavenly encounters and so on through prayer. All this happened through prayer. The anointing is birthed through prayer. Ministry is birthed through prayer. Everything is birthed through prayer. I'm talking about the things of the kingdom, the things of God. It's not going to happen unless you move in prayer. Amen. And in your own time, read 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 9 through the 15th verse. Well, thanks to God, my time is up. Amen. I'm going to close. Thank God for the internet listeners, the landline listeners. Amen. Thank God you have been listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In, where I've been your host, Apostle Flowers. Tune in every first and third Monday where you can hear me at 8 p.m. Lock it in. Go on the internet and click on the icon so far as keeping you updated when next upcoming broadcast. You can do it that way if you forget. If you want to catch me on my next broadcast, you can easily just do that. Go on the internet. Amen. And you can look me up on Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio. Go under to Restore Pastor Dwellers. Say follow. I'm going to click on follow because I want to you want to follow the ministry and everything. So, but anyway, I pray that you were blessed. I pray that you were encouraged. I pray that gave you an extra push to move forward and that you have a better understanding when it comes to prayer. There are vast teachings on prayer. There's so many different dimensions and realms that can be taught on prayer. So I was just giving you the basics, some nuggets on tonight, and then concerning the area of prayer. But before I close on tonight, I want to take this opportunity to offer those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, or you may be a backslider. I just want you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you just said that and confessed that prayer, you are saved. Welcome to the kingdom of God. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. Amen. If you said that and you were back backslider and you just confess that, amen, welcome back, because the Lord is married to the backslider. He loves you. He wants you to know that. The saints of God, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to me, Apostle Flowers, Restore Paths, to them, broadcast and everything. If you want to get in contact with me and know our service times or where we are worshiping at here in the city of Chicago, the Windy City, you can give me a call, area code 773-888-3356. That's area code 773-888-3356. Well, in parting, God bless you. Amen. And you be blessed, strengthened, and encouraged. And good night.